Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always.
For first aid to fast relief from headache, acid indigestion, and cold misery, always rely on Alka-Seltzer, made by Miles Laboratories, who bring you transcribed One Man's Family. Overheard between Paul and Clifford in Clifford's bedroom.
My, don't you smell nice? Going out?
Yeah, over to Maudie's. Going to her apartment tonight and lay it on the line.
What?
Where we stand. I want her to know exactly how I feel, so there won't be any misunderstandings.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always.
Yes, friends, Alka-Seltzer. First, fast, and always. That's the thing to remember when you're suffering with a headache. Alka-Seltzer is first aid for fast relief from the pain of a headache. That's why so many thousands always drink a glass of sparkling, refreshing Alka-Seltzer when they feel upset and miserable with a headache. Alka-Seltzer contains one of the world's most effective pain relievers, called sodium acetyl salicylate. Think first of Alka-Seltzer whenever you have a headache. Drink Alka-Seltzer and see how fast you feel better. Always depend on Alka-Seltzer for the soothing, comforting relief you want. Remember, Alka-Seltzer.
Ask your druggist for Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always. Chapter 7, Book 82. Clifford Barber is pretty busy these days, what with a job and a girl on his hands all of a sudden. The job is coming along quite successfully. And the girl, well, in a way, that's a bit too successful to suit Clifford. Such like thoughts are going through Clifford's mind now, as he stands before his mirror brushing his hair preparatory to going out. Now he stops and peers more closely into the mirror. Yep, that's a gray hair, all right. He pulls it out with an amused grimace.
Well, let's face it, you're no kid anymore, Cliff. Oh, well, it's no use. Come in. Oh, hi, Paul. Come on in.
My, don't you smell nice?
Yeah, I'm using up some of the lotions and stuff I got for Christmas. How about this tie, okay, you think?
Well, it depends. Going out to see a young lady?
Yeah, over to Marty's. Not going out any place, though. I don't know why I should be so particular just to sit around her apartment. What the heck, this is fine.
Do I detect a fine note of coolness?
Huh?
You don't sound very ardent or enthusiastic about this visit.
Well, I'm not, in a way.
What'd you make a date for, then?
Well, I thought I'd have a talk with Marty, Paul. I'm going over there tonight and lay it on the line.
What?
Where we stand. Remember what I told you the other night?
Oh, you think she's getting too serious.
Yeah. Don't you think the only fair thing to do is to tell her exactly how I feel so there won't be any misunderstanding?
I suppose so. You sure you know how you feel?
Oh, sure. What do you mean? I certainly don't intend to get married.
And you're pretty certain, are you, that that's what she wants?
Well, I don't mean she came right out and proposed to me, but, well, you know how women are, Paul.
Not so sure.
No, all kidding aside. I've been around enough to know the signs when I see them, and I'd lay you odds that if I even mentioned the word marriage, Marty would jump at it. Oh, I shouldn't put it that way. It sounds awful fat-headed, but you see what I mean, don't you? You've been up against something like this yourself more than once.
Well, I don't envy you. I'd hate to be facing the task of telling somebody I thought she was too much in love with me.
Yeah, I guess it is going to be pretty tough to find a way to put it, all right.
Just how are you going to put it?
I haven't really thought. I'm going to sound like an awful jerk unless I'm careful. What do you think I ought to say?
How do I know? I don't know what you want out of this relationship with Marty. You say you don't want it to be serious, yet you like the girl, and you want to keep on seeing her, don't you?
Oh, sure. She's one of the swellest persons I've ever known. We have wonderful times together. As a matter of fact, I'm more comfortable around her than about any woman I've ever known.
Well, I certainly wouldn't tell her you feel comfortable around her. Seeing me, that'd make her feel about as unglamorous as anything you could say.
Well, gosh, Paul, don't get the idea I'm trying to break this off or anything like that. All I want to do is to make it clear how I stand. Then we won't have any worries, and we can go on from there with no false illusions, see? Well, I got to get going. I'm late now. Get my coat on, and I'm all set.
Like to take my car?
Oh, that'd be great. I was going to ask Dad for his, but I've been using it so much lately, I'm getting... Oh, come in. Oh, hi, Dad.
Your mother said you were going out, Clifford.
Yeah, just leaving.
Maudie, I presume?
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you that you're welcome to take my car.
Oh, thanks, Dad, but Paul's offered me his. I think I'll kind of spread it around. Let's see now. Have I got everything?
Well, here are my keys.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, here we go. A little late, folks. I'll be seeing you.
Good luck.
Thanks. So long.
He's beginning to show some promise, eh, Four?
Well, he's certainly been active enough lately. Cliff can be busier than anybody I've ever seen.
Has a purpose in life now. He's stimulated and interested. Look there at his table. Book on real estate law. He's been studying, Paul. He told me he was going to work to get a broker's license. Yes. He's approaching this with a very intelligent attitude. I'm very encouraged. Yeah. Don't you think he's found himself at last?
Well, Dad, we've all known the only thing that stood in Cliff's way was himself. And real estate may be it.
Yeah, there seems to be a reservation in your mind.
Oh, not necessarily. All I was thinking was that in this early period, there's an excitation in Cliff, and when that passes and he sees nothing ahead but the long pull of going to work day after day with the inevitable disappointments and irritations, it's possible that, well...
If we accept the precedent of past performance, it isn't too sanguine an outlook, no question of that.
I think you should be given the benefit of any doubt and given every encouragement, and you're certainly doing that. You've been wonderful, Dad. Furthermore, he's responding to it.
You know, Paul, this afternoon I went to see a man by the name of Emmett Harper.
Oh? Who's he?
Harper's a real estate man over here on Geary Street. He's been out in this section for a great many years now, quite elderly. I've known him in a casual way for some time, and I recall that he told me a year or two ago that he was thinking of selling his business. So, this afternoon I dropped in and had a talk with him. Oh, I didn't make a deal or commitment or nothing like that. We just had a nice chat. I told him that my son was just getting started in real estate, and I was interested in promoting his future, and was looking around a bit with an idea of perhaps eventually setting Clifford up for himself. All very informal, of course. But the point is, Paul, I was very tempted to make him an offer.
Dad, you're great. You really are.
We'll consider this confidential for the time being, shall we?
Yes, of course.
There's no need to rush into it. We'll see how Clifford progresses, and then if it looks as if... we can talk it over at a later time, perhaps, eh?
Be glad to.
Yeah, I respect your judgment, my boy. We don't get to talk like this often enough.
Henry!
Huh?
It's Mom calling.
I'm here in Clifford's room, Fanny.
Oh!
You want me, Fanny?
I'm coming.
And I'm in here talking to Paul... I was just coming downstairs, Fanny.
What are you two doing up here anyway? I couldn't imagine what had happened to you.
Oh, we were talking to Cliff while he was getting ready to go out. You getting lonesome down there?
Oh, no. I just wondered what became of your father, that's all.
I told you I was coming up to see if Cliff had wanted to take the car.
He tore out of the house, yelled goodnight, and it didn't seem like 2 seconds till I heard the car roaring out of the driveway.
Roaring, huh? Aren't you glad he's in my car, Dad?
He didn't want to waste any time getting over to see Morty.
Getting to be almost a nightly occurrence, it seems to me.
He couldn't be in a better place, Fanny. Hey, Paul?
Well, it depends on the point of view, I guess. As far as Morty's concerned, I'm sure she'd be in full agreement with you.
Very smart for a girl to confess this sort of thing, but I could hardly wait for you to get here tonight, Clifford.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry I'm late, Morty.
Oh, that part doesn't make any difference. We're not going anywhere. Or are you?
What do you mean?
You're restless. Why don't you sit down?
Well,
what's on your mind tonight?
Oh,
something's been bothering you for the last 2 or 3 days now, hasn't it?
Why?
Oh, didn't you know about Morty and her crystal ball? It said beware of stormy portents in your Clifford.
Morty, look, don't say things like that.
Like what?
Oh, I realize you were only kidding, but... Well, you see, Morty, I came over here tonight because I wanted to tell you something. That is, I wanted to sort of have an understanding about a couple of things.
Okay, shoot.
Well, now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm going to say, Morty, because you know I think you're a swell person. I think, well, I hope this isn't going to affect our friendship one single bit or anything like that.
There seems to be something strangely familiar to the preamble. Nothing, just a passing comment. Go ahead, I'm completely fascinated.
You being sarcastic?
Have I ever been sarcastic with you, Clifford?
No.
I reserve my stings for stinkers, and nothing could ever convince me that you're a stinker, Cliff.
Well,
tell me, what did I say a minute ago that bothered you?
Oh, forget it. It was nothing.
Let's see. I said, beware of stormy portents in your Cliff... Oh. I think I see.
Hmm?
So you don't like me to refer to you as my Clifford, even when I'm kidding? Yeah, a little too possessive sounding?
Well, you know how it is with me, Morty. I'm in no position to get serious with anybody. I get a modest income from some money Dad settled on all of us a few years ago, but outside of that, I haven't made a nickel for an awful long time, until I started on this job. Then I got a son away in school, and that's taken about everything I've had coming in. That is, until this job turned up. But as I say, I've only started on
whoa,
that.
Whoa, take it easy. What you're trying to tell me is that you don't want to get married. Isn't that it?
Well, yeah.
And are you afraid I might try to talk you into it?
No.
Look, Cliff, my lad, I think you're awful sweet, and I admit I haven't been what you'd call hard to get, but you just put your mind at ease. Little old Morty isn't going to marry you or anybody else until I'm darn good and sure I'm wanted. And even then, I might put up an argument. On account I'm a woman, and I got me pride.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment.
Hello, Mother? Yes. Well, I knew you'd be worried. I just wanted to call and put your mind at rest. No, it wasn't anything serious. Just a kid's squabble. Margaret fell and scraped her knee and... What? Oh, of course I bathed it with Bactine. Yes? Yes, dear, she's all right. What? Well, of course I know how wonderful Bactine is. That's what I'm always telling you.
Yes, Bactine is wonderful, all right. That's what all the folks who have tried it are saying. And ladies, we want you to know about this remarkable new family antiseptic, too. We're sure that when you try Bactine, you'll never be without it in your home. Here is a powerful antiseptic and germicide that fights germs effectively, yet it is soothingly gentle, does not hurt like harsher antiseptics, does not stain skin nor clothing. Try your first bottle of Bactine on our no-risk, double-your-money-back guarantee. Here's all you do. Get a bottle of Bactine from your druggist and use it. If you don't think it is the finest all-round antiseptic and germicide you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. Yes, double your money back if you don't like Bactine. Your druggist has Bactine in 30 and 70-cent size bottles. Be sure you ask for B-A-C-T-I-N-E, Bactine. Here's the family again.
Gee, Morty, I'm glad we had this little talk this evening.
Are you?
Yeah, it sort of cleared the atmosphere. Now we can see each other all we want and not worry about complications. I hate complications.
Yeah, I'm beginning to see what you mean.
Friends, remember, try Bactine, the marvelous new family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide. Get it on the no-risk guarantee of double your money back if you're not satisfied. Go to your drugstore and get a 30 or 70-cent bottle of Bactine. Try it for many of its amazing uses. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest family antiseptic you've ever used, if you don't find more uses for it than any other antiseptic you've ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. Get Bactine right away. B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, The Man Who Didn't Come to Dinner, Chapter 8, Book 82. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.